for those that don't know Brother Francis, could you give us just the 30,000-foot view of who this charming, wonderful little Lebanese man was, and how did this man wind up? Now, let me add my part that I know. Brother Francis, or Fakir, what was his?
Fakhri Maalouf.
Fakir Maalouf was brilliant. I'm talking jet fuel, literally jet fuel rocket science genius. And came to the United States, could have taught anywhere. I'll let brother tell you the schools that he taught at. And then one day he meets this man right outside of Harvard, you see. He meets Father Leonard Feeney. And then Brother Francis, or Fakir, his life takes a turn. I think it's one of the greatest stories never told. I know it a little bit. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about it? Because I think it's a wonderful story.
Well, so we can back up a little. I mean, he was born in 1913, a citizen of the Ottoman Empire, which, you know, the idea that I knew somebody and spent years living with and speaking with and interacting with a man who was born a citizen of the Ottoman Empire just kind of rattles my cage a bit. It's amazing, but yeah, he was born in 1913, a citizen of the Ottoman Empire in a little town called Mashreth, about 30 miles outside of Beirut, Lebanon. And you know, he grew up in a house that was poor. They were poor people. It was vineyard country. It was a very Catholic town, but unfortunately, he grew up in a town that was. He grew up in a family that had lost the faith, largely due to the influence of American Freemasonry and Protestantism what would eventually become the American University of Beirut, the AUB. It was at first known to be the Syrian Protestant College, and it was founded by Presbyterian Freemasons from the United States. He grew up speaking Arabic, of course, but also English, and he knew French. He resisted speaking French in the streets because he knew Lebanese who did that, and he rather resisted the French mandate because as soon as the Ottoman Empire fell, the victorious Allied powers divided up the Holy Land, the Near East, to rule. You know, in other words, the former lands of the Ottoman Empire were ruled by the victorious powers, and Tsarist Russia fell out the game early because of the communist revolution, but France and England basically ended up dividing up the rule, and brother rather resisted the French mandate. So although he loved French culture and things like that, he didn't want to go be speaking French. So he knew, but he knew it. I mean, at the end of his life, every night he'd be reading a book in French before he went to bed, just to keep his French up. But anyway, he was educated. Although the family were poor, his dad was educated, and so was his mom. Their education was very important for them. They were poets. They were philosophers. I mean, of a sort. But he learned from his childhood the importance of education, and his father ran something of a school in the home. And when Fakhri got to a certain age, like he was still in like ninth grade or something, the equivalent of, he's teaching younger kids. So during his childhood, he was a teacher. His father, Boutros Maalouf, which Boutros means Peter in Arabic, Boutros Maalouf ran this school where he had the older students teaching the younger students, and it was a real educational environment. And then he ended up, when he came of age, he went to the American University of Beirut, then got a bachelor's degree, then got a master's degree, and all this is in sciences, in math and, right, and physics. And then he was, after he got his master's degree, they had him teaching there, and he was teaching, you know, undergrads, and he was teaching the science, math, physics, and all that stuff. And then he encountered Dr. Charles Melek, who was a Greek Orthodox Lebanese man, a statesman, and a philosopher. He had been a student of Heidegger. He had studied under Heidegger.
Oh, wow.
In Germany. So he spoke German. He was very, very educated. And he was, I mean, at one time he was the head of the UN UN General Assembly. I think it was the General Assembly. One aspect of the UN, he headed it up for a time. Very influential man, very anti-communist. He was an Orthodox Christian, and that was Brother Francis's first encounter with a very serious. He was kind of a C.S. Lewis figure in many ways, because Dr. Malik, and you can look it up. There's a huge Wikipedia article on Dr. Charles Malik.
Okay.
Like C.S. Lewis, a lot of the people that he influenced, Muslims, Jews, whatever, Druzes, different people of different religions that were common in Lebanon, they would convert to Christianity, and most of them became Catholics, even though he was Orthodox. And so two of his brothers became Catholics, Father Gabriel Malik and Father, I forget the other one. One became a Dominican and the other became a Jesuit. It sounds wow. like a funny joke. but Brother Francis was he heard this man. So as a teacher, as an instructor, Brother Francis spent time auditing other professors' classes, because he was on a constant quest to learn. And Dr. Malik mentioned angels in his lecture. And Brother Francis went up to him after class. And of course, at the time, he's Fakhri Maluf. By the way, Fakhri is a common name in the Arab world, and it means joy, like my joy. And there are variations, one of which is Fakir, which you want to make brother's name. But Fakir is actually a variation on that same theme. And I met a Fakir.
Fakir or Fakhri.
Yeah. They both come from the word for joy.
Okay.
Anyway, Brother Francis Fakhri goes to Professor Malik and says, "Yeah, I've never met an educated person who actually believed in angels before. What are you serious?" So he said, "Well, I could explain it to you, but it would take a while." He said, "Well, I've got time." So, you know, he was a young bachelor. All he was about was thinking and academics and politics too. But he decided they took a walk, and they walked all around Lebanon. Keep in mind, Lebanon's a small country.
Right.
They ended up walking all night, having a conversation, and the conversation was this sort of peripatetic conversation. You know, Aristotle used to walk when he was teaching. All the students would walk with him. So, and he was called the peripatetic because of that. So they had this perambulation all around Lebanon, and all they had time to do before they faced their first classes of the day the next morning was walk into a coffee bar and get some coffee, and then they went and faced their classes.
That's awesome.
So, and by that time, Brother Francis was so rocked his foundation with this crazy notion of there being pure spirits and the order of the supernatural that he had never sufficiently pondered, that it was the foundation of his conversion. And through a series of providential events, he would become a Catholic, as most of Dr. Malik's people that he influenced did. So that was one of his things. And he was also into politics, and he was very involved in what was called the Syrian National Party. And because the Syrian National Party had their own idea of a greater Syria, that was a political hegemony in the Near East, completely different than either the Islamists, and the Islamists were around in those days, or the pan-Arab worldview of like Yasser Arafat and the PLO, because they were Arabists. They were not Islamists. They were Arabists.
That's interesting.
But the political hegemony that the Syrian National Party had in mind for that part of the world was the what they considered a governable swath of earth, what the Romans called Syria, which embraced not just Arabs, but Phoenicians, Syrians, who historically were not Arabs. It wasn't until the Arab conquest comes to the area that Arabs amalgamate into that people, and the culture that went with it, which was diverse, and they had no views on religion, except they wanted an American style sort of religious plurality, which was tolerant to all the native religions.
So they weren't brown Christian nationalists.
No, they weren't Christian nationalists. They had their own view. Now it could have worked. I mean, it could have worked, but of course, because there was another group of people who had their own designs on that, or a significant piece of that land, and I think you know where I'm going. Because of that, Brother Francis's name ended up on a hit list. And he had a friend who was basically assassinated by the Zionists.